welcome to another snippet episode of AviatorCast celebrating National Aviation Day. This is our third snippet 8-point roll episode. So this is where we are going to talk to the filmmaker, director, producer, editor, and more, I believe, of Flying the Feathered Edge, the Bob Hoover story. So this is kind of a life story of Bob Hoover. You heard from Bob Hoover in the last 8-point roll quick episode. And so now we are going to talk to the filmmaker. Her name is Kim First. It was great to meet Kim. I spent a little bit of time with her in different situations, from the press briefings to seeing the film at the theater there at EAA, and then having this nice sit-down chat with her. I really love the work that she's done on this film, and she's also been involved in other films as well. She was the editor of 1/6 Right, which some of you may know of, and that is a great film as well. But this was an amazing show, so enjoy the interview, but know that after the fact, I'm going to tell you how you can see this movie and where you can see it and so on, and so we will talk about that after this. So here is Kim First, producer, director, editor of Flying the Feathered Edge, the Bob Hoover story. All right, everybody, we are honored to have a very special guest with us today. We have Kim First. Kim, tell us why you are here at Oshkosh.
Well, I'm here at Oshkosh because I'd probably be here at Oshkosh anyway.
Okay.
This is my seventh Oshkosh.
Oh, wow, great.
And I've been coming, I skipped a couple years, but I've been coming since 2006 when I came with my friend Brian Twilliger, mm-hmm. who had produced and directed a movie called 1/6 Right. I was the film editor on that picture,
great.
So I worked closely with Brian for a year putting that together, and it was probably one of the greatest things that I've had the opportunity to do was sit and watch that in the mm-hmm. screenings we did with the Aviators here. We had two screenings that year in the Eagle Hangar of that movie. And anyhow, I'm here this year. It's my fifth aviation documentary I've worked on later. And I'm here with the movie Flying the Feathered Edge, the Bob Hoover Project, which I produced, directed, edited, and wrote. And it's been an incredible week. It's been, you know, we had a lot of events with Bob, a lot of things promoting the film this week. But I love Oshkosh. I'm actually really sad that it's coming to a close. I was driving around the North 40 and planes were already starting. It's Saturday,
right,
and the planes
right.
are already starting to take off. So anyhow, I'm just here seeing my aviation family.
Great.
You know?
Yeah, it's a great time. So, for those of you who know who Bob Hoover is, you listeners, you're already excited about this podcast because you had such a great opportunity to work closely to him. But for those that don't know who Bob Hoover is, quickly educate us on this icon in the aviation community.
Okay, so Bob Hoover, for anyone who might not know, is a World War II veteran. He was a pilot during World War II. When he came out, it was very, very storied events that happened there in his career. When he came out of World War II, he was a test pilot at Wright Field. He, as an experimental test pilot, he then worked at North American Aviation, which, you know, was the very iconic aviation American aviation company that mm-hmm. designed the P-51, the F-86, F-100, and many, many other things.
And
actually,
the command module for the Apollo,
programs. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then became a very accomplished airshow pilot. I mean, probably one of the premier airshow pilots through the 50s and 60s. And 70s and into the 80s. So he had like a four-decade airshow career, demonstration career, demonstrated aircraft all over the world. He's known worldwide as probably one of our greatest living aviators. I think the Smithsonian Air and Space magazine had a Century of Aviation edition where they listed the, you know, top 100 aviators of all time. And I think Bob was number three.
Really?
And now, yeah.
Oh
my and
gosh.
So, and the other two gentlemen, unfortunately, are no longer with us. So I guess by default, that makes us, at least by that magazine, that issue's standing, our greatest living aviator.
So if I'm not mistaken, one of the big reasons behind actually doing this film, Flying the Feathered Edge, is to get Bob's story to live on. And that is largely why I wanted to do this podcast with you, because I want to educate my generation
Generation X, millennials, on who Bob Hoover is. So over the last few days, I've been going to different events. I saw the movie. Wonderful, wonderful job, by the way.
Thank you.
Just really great. I can't wait until other people can see it. And then other events where Bob could just sit there and talk his stories. So, yeah, I'm excited to talk about that a little more. So how did you end up coming across this opportunity to do this film for Bob?
So I had done, like I mentioned, I had been the film editor on four other aviation films, and I've produced and directed other things on my own. I was looking for a great story within aviation that I felt hadn't been done yet in a way that I thought was befitting of his story.
Sure.
And or befitting of whatever story I was looking for at that time. And I got invited to this event by my friend Sean Tucker, and who's the kind of the premier airshow pilot right now. He flies the Oracle biplane. And Sean said, I want to introduce you to the man who inspired me. And we were at this dinner, and it was probably about 10 of us in the room. I was the only one that was not an incredibly accomplished aviator in my own right. We had Chuck Aaron was there, and other Boeing test pilots, and people who were, you know, also legends, people who had also accomplished so much. And the way they looked at Bob and how they revered him for what he had done to help keep them safe, or mm-hmm. say something that might have helped save their life at one time or another. I noticed that I was in the presence of someone who had a incredible just database of knowledge about aerospace and aircraft and airframes that others who are aviators who are, you know, pushing the limits of aviation, maybe experimental test pilots, revered. And his stories were just incredible. I mean, this is a guy who, it's hard to imagine that one individual has done as much as he has done.
Right.
One of the most famous stories is, you know, when he was a prisoner of war in World War II, when he was captured, he was taken to Stalag Luft I on the Baltic Sea. And, you know, as the war was winding down, he finally managed his escape. And he got to a nearby airfield and managed to commandeer a Fokker 190 and, you know, flew it to freedom in Holland. And, I mean, they're just larger-than-life stories.
Right, right.
But it all boils down to a man who's passionate about aviation. He's passionate about people being better aviators, good aviators, sharing his aviation knowledge. Mm-hmm. And in that way, he's kind of this national treasure as far as just aviation knowledge. And, you know, there's a lot of cultures that really honor their elders. You know, like I'd spoken to someone who was Japanese who had seen it, someone also from China who had seen the film, and they were like, you know, Bob is, he's one of our tribal elders, mm-hmm, you know?
Right.
And for aviation, he has an incredible amount to give.
Right.
To people who are aviators. I think that's why people love him and why they honor him like they do.
And that's one of the reasons I, again, wanted to meet with you, because we talk a lot on this podcast about not forgetting our kind of forefathers of aviation. And so I recognize that he was one of them and needed to be recognized. And there's still an opportunity for us in our day and age to learn about those guys and make sure we don't forget where we came from. Because I think one of the problems we face in aviation, especially aviation training, is forgetting a lot of the tribal knowledge that we once had. And not only that, the inspiration. I actually heard that story from Bob. I was sitting there when he was doing his old Yeller Warbirds in review down at Warbirds Alley. And he told that story. And then he said that, you know, along the way, he would stop and he would encourage everyone to go for their dreams, that it's just working hard and getting there. So
absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, his is an incredibly inspiring story. That's well put, because he's interested in inspiring people into aviation and just inspiring them to be professional, to be good at what they do, to use their own, you know, gut check, their compass on things, but to be smart. And, you know, certain events that I've witnessed over the time that I was able to spend with him filming it, during the time that he and I were working together, one of our interviewees who flies a Bonanza had an engine failure, and he had to plant the aircraft between two trees. And, you know, he did it like Bob Hoover had always said, you know, don't stop flying the aircraft, you know, fly through never stop aviating, mm-hmm. you know, never stop flying.
Yeah.
And, you know, he credits Bob for saving his life. And, you know, frankly, Harrison Ford, you know, Bob told me that he called him after his event in Santa Monica and discussed the event with Bob because, you know, he wanted to talk to him about how he did. He's that for pilots. And so, I don't know, did I answer your question?
No, that's great. tell us a little bit what it was like to actually put the film together, because obviously there's a history from World War II all the way up to today, really, with what he is still doing. What was that like? I mean, how do you even approach a project like that?
You're putting your finger on what the biggest problem was with trying to get Bob's story down to 90 minutes.
Right.
So the first day Bob and I got together to have our interview, and I've interviewed quite a few people. I've done it professionally. I did all my research. I had read his book, Forever Flying, which is a fantastic book. If anyone hasn't read it, highly recommend Forever Flying as just a way to understand all the stories that Bob has lived through, or I should say all the experiences that Bob has had. And we met day one, and by the end of that day, we had just gotten through his time in World War II.
Jeez.
And so I said, okay, we're gonna have another interview day. So I set up the next day. By the end of that full day, we had just gotten through his experiences that ended at his time at Wright-Patterson. And, you know, we hadn't even touched on his air show flying, working at North American Aviation, Reno Air Races. By the time we were finished, my interview with Bob alone was 12 and a half hours.
Oh, my gosh.
And, you know, and I was asking him hard questions. You know, I was not just letting him sit and talk. I knew I wanted to get some things out of him that I thought I hadn't heard before.
Sure.
And I did. But I'm still hearing stories from him. I'm still hearing things last week that he'll tell some story about being in China on a rickshaw. And then, you know, flying some aircraft over there in the Far East that, you know, wow, Bob, I'd never heard that one before. You know, it's just kind of endless. So the biggest problem was trying to take a 12 and a half hour, you know, interview and condense that down into something that's 90 minutes long.
Sure.
And it's not wall to wall Bob talking.
No, it's not.
You know, we've got, it's very important to me. I'm, as a filmmaker, I don't like writing script like a narrator gives you the story that I think you should hear and have this preconceived idea of what the movie's about. For me, my goal is usually to start out by pulling the string, interviewing people, interviewing my subjects, and finding out what is the story from their own words, and then using their words to tell the story.
Yeah, right.
So it meant a lot to me that I find a way to have Bob tell his own story, because mm-hmm. that's how, you know, I wanted that tribal knowledge passed on.
Right.
I wanted it from his lips mm-hmm. to our ears, and to really let him take us on his journey over his, you know, 70-decade career in aviation. And he's got this great this great voice that's very Bob.
Yeah.
And he's very charming, you know, he's funny. And that's Bob, you know. Mm-hmm. And as a film editor, you have a huge responsibility, because I could cut Bob to make him very serious, actually, mm-hmm. or I could say, well, only the important stuff goes in, mm-hmm. or, you know, but the thing I wanted to do was to almost like facet it like a diamond. Like, you think about it, you find a rough, you know, the diamond is Bob.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you just, as a filmmaker, just put that, set it so that it shines as brightly as it does?
Sure.
And not get in the way of it. Just mm-hmm. let him be Bob. And he, you know, Mr. Hoover is also telling stories that have incredible detail. This is a man who remembers names and places, and these stories are extremely detailed. And from the get-go, he said, you know, Kim, the most important thing to me is that it be accurate, and that it be factually accurate, and that we, I don't want anything in there that isn't verifiable, that, you know, that he wanted everything to be really precise. So when I was looking for example, we has these different stories like stealing the Focke-Wulf 190, you know, Bob might say, well, you know, I found there was a guy in the coveralls, and, you know, there was a revetment, there was a Focke-Wulf 190. Well, unless you're going to sit there and have Bob just sitting on the screen the whole time, you have to find all that stuff.
Sure.
You have to find a photo that somehow represents.
Yeah.
And you can't just find any old Focke-Wulf One Night. You got to make sure it was from, you know, I don't know. I'm not a professional about the Focke-Wulf 190, but, you know, I do know, like, I've been reading aerospace magazines for years, and you just don't want to be that person that they're referencing in the letters to the editor where, you know, well, you know, that time it shouldn't have had an afterburner, or,
right.
at that time it was should have been a F-86, you know, that was the B model or the C model,
right.
Not the D model. So it was very important to me that everything meet Bob's standard of precision and that we do everything within our power to make sure that it was all checked, double-checked with either mostly with Bob, with historians, and that we, you know, for every photo that had a, you know, German Luftwaffe pilot in coveralls with a Focke-Wulf 190 about to prop it, you know, you've got to look at, you know, a couple thousand more just to winnow it down to finding that one.
Yeah.
So I had tremendous help in the, you know, in the research department and frankly, a lot of that lifting, and just to do a shout out to, Elizabeth Betsy First, who's my mother, actually,
has
always been an incredible historian, always been an incredible researcher. And I enlisted her when it just became too much. She was staying with us and she was just loving the material.
Great.
And she said, put me to work, kid. And so she went elbow deep in the National Archives a number of times. And she would bring, you know, flash drives full of photos for me to, you know, just thousands of photos
wow.
for me to sort through. But that first cut had to be done by someone who, you know, spent looking at thousands more than she did, you know. So she did a lot of heavy lifting. We had help from Edwards Air Force Base, sent me a box of stuff, and just, you know, historians who had known and loved Bob over the years. A friend of mine walked into the, you know, who was at the time, I think, the chief historian at the Pentagon, or the man who was overseeing museums and policies and programs. And
wow.
he helped us by making some introductions of people who might have known where there's some other footage that might have lived of him. And so it's just, Bob was kind of the key to a lot of this, because people...
They wanted to help out.
They
wanted
to help.
The community wanted to come together for Bob.
We've been overwhelmed by the response of the community to help tell this story
wow.
and to make it what it is.
That just shows you the importance for everybody. And more so for the generations of that day, not necessarily for the generations of my day, because I'm young enough where I haven't seen Bob in an air show, you know? But just hearing his stories, it's like, gosh, this is the aviator of aviators. This guy is awesome.
Yep.
So how long did the film take you to make?
So the film took, so I, just to give you a little perspective, I started in, it was spring of 2011, and I immediately did Bob's interview.
Okay.
It's the first thing I did. And then from the interview...
Did you do that because of his age? Just so you could capture that right away?
You know, frankly, with all of these guys, we lost three of our people who were in the film during the making of the film. And I knew as soon as I wanted to do it that there was
you
no time.
You had to get it on.
I just wanted to get going, you know? And, you know, could happen to any of us at any time, but there's just no time to waste.
Right.
So did that. And it's funny because, you know, it's Bob is so vital that, you know, hopefully he'll be here for another 10 years and we'll be toasting the guy who's 105 years old. You know, you just never know with anybody, you know, young aviator that is important to the community, who meant a lot to a lot of people who do off-road flying, or, you know, John Kunis, you know, 51 years old, and just something just completely medically related. So any of us, you don't want to, if you have an idea about something, don't wait, just do it. And specifically with these older legends, you know, there aren't a lot of them left who are from World War II. So that wasn't in my mind, for sure. So out of that interview, I realized that there were a number of things he said that kind of gave me the idea of where I wanted to go next.
Okay.
We went together to, I followed him to the F-86 F-100 convention.
Oh, wow.
In Las Vegas.
Okay.
That was in 2011. These gentlemen were people that Bob, that I had overheard in his interview, Bob talk about were his heroes. People like Colonel Bud Day, and you know, Sam Johnson, who flew in, I mean, both of them became prisoners of war in Vietnam. Colonel Bud Day was, you know, I think 5 years in a French prison sleeping on concrete. Yeah, I mean, it's just, you can't even imagine what they went through physically. But even just that he remained with his spirit intact after all that is inspiring. So when we went to that event in Las Vegas, I started kind of just watching like a fly on the wall, just recording some of Bob's speeches to the gentlemen that were there. And then also interviewing some of the gentlemen who had watched him fly. When Bob was at North American Aviation, he used to do demonstration flights. His purpose was to show the F-86, the F-100. These were the aircraft that were the main fighters during the Korean conflict and Vietnam. And he would demonstrate these to the Air Force that were flying at the time to show them the capabilities of the aircraft, to basically show the limit of what an aircraft could do. So many of these gentlemen that were at these reunions remembered very clearly seeing Bob Hoover come to their Air Force base or their Air National Guard unit or wherever they were stationed all over the world, and that he would put on a demonstration. And
in a suit and tie, by the way.
In a suit, that's right. Yeah, that's right. He had a very specific look. Mm-hmm. You know, Bob always came, that he wasn't in a Air Force flight suit, but he came in a suit and tie and, you know, put on these demonstrations and was there to just answer any of their questions about safety. You know, what would you do if, you know, that Bob's big on what would I do if, and think about that and think about it ahead of time. So that was his message he was bringing was, you know, what are the limits of these particular aircraft, how to stay safe, what to do if you were in these different, you know, we have a beautiful film of Bob in a flat spin in the F-100. And it was a test that he did as an experimental test pilot to show that the F-100 would tend to, it didn't have a very much vertical tail. So it would tend to yaw and it could depart on you if you were, you know, doing certain maneuvers. And so his job for as an experimental test pilot at North American was to push it to the point where it departed, because they were finding that these were going into this flat spin. And any aviator that's actually spun an aircraft or whatever, you know that, you know, there's certain things that aircraft generally do that you can regain control of the aircraft. But this particular one, you would get into a flat spin and you actually couldn't get out of it. This was happening to some of these guys that were flying this particular aircraft, and Bob went out there to talk to him about it. His message was always, and his interest was always, how to keep other aviators safe. And he spent his career promoting that. And so going to the F-100, F-86 convention was the next thing. Then we, we went to Reno. We went with him to, we filmed with Harrison and Sean D. Tucker in Harrison's hangar in Santa Monica. Which was incredible. Harrison was extremely gracious. I mean, he allowed me to come into his hangar and move all of his aircraft around and, you know, direct him and Sean and Bob through a whole day he spent with us, you know, talking to Bob and Sean. And he loves aviation, too.
Yeah.
And he wants to promote aviation. And he said yes to this in between his busy schedule of doing, you know, huge blockbusters, because it matters to him to give back to aviation, you know, so we benefit from that.
Right.
And so it took, all told, it took 3 years, I would say, 3 solid years to structure and to, you know, and that includes the raising of the money part.
Sure.
And then also I became pregnant during the process. My son is now 3. And so a good deal of this, as a matter of fact, I found out when we were headed to Reno and I was running around Reno carrying cameras and all this kind of stuff. And at a certain point, I was told you got to slow down. So, but that was perfect for the editing process. And I just had a big lazy boy and kicked it back and put my monitors up on a medical table.
Awesome.
And took some duct tape and strapped my keyboard onto the front of it. And I laid there big as a whale and cut the Bob Hoover movie.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
I'm sure you're not going to share a picture of that happening.
I actually do have a pretty great picture
really?
Of that.
Really? I want to see that.
Okay.
That'd be great. Okay, so we don't have too much more time here left, but there is this gem of a film now that we have about Bob Hoover's life. So how do we get the word out? How do we tell people about it? Obviously, the first answer is get it in theaters, get in your local theaters, but also how do we spread it to my generation, social media, things like that. So let's talk about, now we have this, what do we do?
So what we're about ready to do is release in theaters. We've had this, we've actually been out on DVD since the holidays of this past year. So about five, 6 months. And there's been such a response, such a demand. I'd like to share it with my Young Eagles group. I'd like to share it with my EAA chapter. How do we bring this to our museum? We've done huge screenings across the country. We did National Museum of the U.S. Air Force, you know, 800 people there. We just did something in Sacramento last weekend. We were at Embry-Riddle for their alumni weekend. Another 800 people saw the film that weekend. And what we just kept finding was aviators love to watch this movie together because it's just so much fun. And Bob is, you know, he's really representative of our aviation history and our journey. He's kind of touched so much of it. So it's a very fun movie to see in groups of aviators. So what we've decided to do because of the demand is we are releasing in theaters next month. We're kicking off on National Aviation Day, which is August 19th. This day is a holiday which has been around since 1934. President Delano Roosevelt actually said that by presidential decree each year we can celebrate Aviation Day, and it's to celebrate advancements in aviation. So we thought, what a great opportunity to revive this somewhat little known holiday.
I didn't even know about it.
I had never heard of it either. Yeah. Actually, the only person I've talked to, there's two people who knew about it. And the first one was Dorothy Cochran, the curator of the Smithsonian.
Okay,
she's
well,
like, yes, of course I know about that. You know. So Aviation Day, we are going to be doing a screening on Capitol Hill in the U.S. Capitol. The screening is free, but you do need to get your tickets in advance at the bobhooverproject.com. And we'll have an Eventbrite site set up so that people can get their tickets. And that will be kicking off this release in theaters. So theaters across the country will be carrying Flying the Feathered Edge. So if you live anywhere you live across the country, you go to our website, you type in your email address and your zip code, and it will tell you where near you you can screen Flying the Feathered Edge. Then you buy your ticket, and then you tell all your friends to buy their tickets, and then you enjoy your screening.
Perfect.
So we are using hashtag Team Hoover, and hashtag Team Hoover is our way to promote Bob's legacy, his life, the film, bringing his story to the next generation. Like, it's not just those who have served in Korea and Vietnam who respect and honor this database of knowledge that he has, this wealth, this, you know, foundation of knowledge that Bob has. Actually, let me put that differently. Bob's whole generation, they were a different breed of pilots.
They were, yep.
Carrying that forward and building on that legacy is something that we believe will help future generations of pilots and inspire future generations of pilots. Team Hoover indicates that you are on board with inspiring future generations of pilots by helping to spread Bob's story and other stories like his.
And that's how I plan on using it, is when I feel particularly inspired about aviation, something that just gives me the chills or that I feel so blessed to be doing what I'm doing. It's a hashtag Team Hoover when I share that photo or that experience. I would encourage others to do that too. And let's get the spirit of Bob to live on, because that's, they aren't going to be around forever. And we're going to look back on this and just treasure it completely. So now's the time to really start doing those things. Kim, any final words before we're finished up here?
Well, thank you for doing this
Sure,
and for
no
helping
problem.
To bring attention to his story.
No problem.
We really appreciate it. You know, Bob, I think, has been amazed by, you know, there's so much support for Bob, but I think people have really been responding to this film. And, you know, I think it's exciting. It's exciting for all of us involved in it. And, you know, things like social media are so, you know, so outside of his understanding, but I do say, Bob, here, come look at all of our Facebook posts. Like, look, 2,000 people like this post. And he's like, oh, that's really neat, you know? And so he just thinks it's great. His birthday, it just blew up, you know?
Oh,
it was
really?
Like, yo, you should scroll back and look at, like, his birthday.
What's his birthday? You remember?
It is, I should double check it. I want to say, I know it's in January.
Okay.
I want to say it's the 22nd, It's the 22nd, 21st, or 23rd, but
okay.
I believe it's the 22nd. And, you know, people taking pictures of, like, birthday cakes that they made to him. And,
oh, wow,
you know,
no way.
Pictures of, you know, everybody, you know, watching the movie to celebrate his life. And it just, you know, I think it's wonderful. It's special for me to have the support because I really do feel like here's a way that I hope that people who haven't seen him fly in an evergreen way, you know, for future generations can
sure.
enjoy his story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm a video guy myself. I love video. It's such an emotional way to show that. So fantastic job with the film. Those of you listeners, go out, check it out. If you can't find it in your local theater, they can purchase it, right? They can.
If you're super, super, super remote and you want to go buy the DVD or the Blu-ray, you can purchase it from the BobHooverProject.com. And, you know, Aviation Day, we're kicking off this, you know, screenings all over the country. We already have a whole bunch of them set up. Once you get your screening set up, you know, we'll promote it. We're going to be, you know, promoting everybody across the country who's hosting, you know, Team Hoover screenings of
Great.
The movie. So,
Great.
Yeah, we look forward to having you part of Team Hoover.
So August 19th.
August 19th.
Awesome.
Yep, Aviation
all right.
Day.
See you all then at a screening of the Flying the Feathered Edge.
Thank you, Chris.
Thanks, Kim. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
All right, so that was such a great interview with Kim. I was very happy to have been able to sit down with her on the last day that I was there at Oshkosh. It kind of wrapped everything together, and she did such an amazing job with this film. I know that she didn't do it on her own either. It was heavily influenced. I mean, not even heavily influenced. It was all about the story of Bob Hoover. And you know, this guy is supported by such an amazing community. Almost everyone knows who he is. And then if you don't know who he is, you should know who he is. This guy is just awesome. If you guys haven't checked out the book yet, you need to. I've really been enjoying this. It's one of the few aviation books that I just can't get my head out of. I mean, from paragraph to paragraph, this thing just blows my mind as far as what Bob went through and what he experienced. And I'm just in the first fifth or so of the book. So amazing, amazing things and a lot to learn as well. If you guys would like to see the movie, which I highly, highly recommend you do, it is such a great representation of Bob's story. Go to thebobhooverproject.com and you guys can check out there where you can go and see the screenings. You can also request that your local theater hold a screening, and you may even see that there are some other screenings that are going to be happening in your area. So be absolutely sure that you go there and you check it out, because it may already be playing in your area. So go and check that out. And if you are totally unable, like say that there's not even a theater in your town or anything, or you're not going to be able to see a screening of this, you can also purchase the film already on DVD or Blu-ray. And that's definitely something that I'm going to be doing here coming up. So you can do that, and then you can interact with the Bob Hoover Project on Twitter and Facebook. They have some pretty good channels there. They keep active on there. And if you want to become part of Team Hoover, and if you are an aviator, you should become a part of Team Hoover, go ahead and use the Team Hoover hashtag on Twitter. And I'm sure you could use it on Facebook too, but use it on Twitter, hashtag Team Hoover. I usually do it all caps. And I do that when I'm really inspired by aviation, when I feel like an aviator and I'm so proud to be a part of this, I do the Team Hoover hashtag. You should as well. I hope you guys enjoyed not only the last 8-point roll quick episode here, but also this one following up with Kim who did the film. I really recommend you guys go see it, and that's it. Let's get into the next snippet episode here, the next 8-point roll, and we'll see you there. Until then, throttle on. 5-8
is ready. 5-8 is the short line, turn left, heading 235, maintain 2,000, runway 25 right, clear for takeoff.
Clear for takeoff, 25 right, United 580.